Yeah, and we're back. Nadine Godwin is editor-at-large for Travel Weekly magazine. For those who are not familiar with Travel Weekly, it is one of the longest-running weekly trade publications in our industry. Nadine is also the author of a book of travel trivia. Welcome to Talking Travel.
Oh, hello.
Those words just came out of my mouth about Travel Weekly being one of the longest-running weekly trade pubs, but you know, they must have been. It's been around ever since I was in the industry, and I started quite young.
Well, I think it's been around about, it's between 45 and 50 years. I'm not sure. I'd have to go look, but it's something like that. We did a 40th anniversary issue about 5 or 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
Which is my one clue.
It gives you a little bit of a guideline. Anyway, the travel agents, of course, that are listening, are familiar with it, and there's also an online version as well.
Yes.
Nadine recently returned from Greenland, and she's written a very, very interesting article, and she starts out by saying, Greenland has the makings of a hot destination. Why don't you take it from there?
Well, I'm saying that because people like things that are new and different. And, of course, this certainly fits in the category of both new and different. New because very few Americans have been there. In fact, relatively few tourists of any kind have been there.
Right.
Doesn't have a big tourism business.
Yeah, we've flown over it a lot.
We've flown over it a lot. In fact, one reason a lot of Americans haven't been there is because it's hard to get there from here. It's kind of like you can't get there from here. Because right now, if you're going to go, you have to fly. If you're flying, you have to go through either Iceland or Denmark.
Right.
Which is not exactly sensible. And the most common way for Americans to get there right now is on a cruise ship, because any number of cruise ships do call at some of the ports on either the East Coast or the West Coast of Greenland.
And as you mentioned, about 45% of the visitors are on the cruise line.
Yeah, something like, actually what it was is 45% of the cruise passengers are Americans.
Oh, okay.
Right, and about 40% of all the visitors
are on cruise ships. Okay.
That's okay. It's nice that I've actually remembered it for 2 or 3 days.
Well, it's nice to be talking travel than just to be writing travel, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. It is.
A little bit of a change of pace,
right.
And you can change. You know, you don't have to have a spell check on this.
No, that's true. That's true.
Now you mentioned that there's some interesting and appealing activities for a little bit more serious adventures, and you talk about Arctic diving, dog sled journeys,
yeah.
Helis skiing. Now I'm assuming that's helicopter.
Yeah, the helicopter takes you to your slopes and drops you down. Well, doesn't drop you in the sky, but lands and lets you out of the thing and then out of the aircraft, and then you ski down these. I mean, I don't do these things, but you ski down these
right.
wild
but so
mountain trails.
In essence, it becomes your ski lift.
It becomes your ski lift, that's right.
Now,
and several of those things are certainly things I don't do, and I nevertheless did indeed enjoy going to Greenland. So it isn't that one must be
right.
One of these sort of extreme adventurers. It's just that Greenland has those opportunities. It's actually quite a beautiful place, which is the reason it would appeal to just about anybody who can get there, because the whole coastline is like endless fjords. If you think of a Norwegian coast, you know, it's a lot like that kind of thing with its coastline of little inlets in and out, and then of course there you have icebergs all over the place and glaciers and things, and they're just gorgeous under the sunlight. It's just, plus of course you're just blown away by the size of things.
I'll leave the pronunciation of the glaciers and fjords to you.
I won't even try some of them.
Well, the only one I'll take a stab at is Kayak. And you mentioned in this article that they claim to be the people who introduced the kayaks, and it's part of their language, so it makes sense to me.
Well, from what I could tell, based partly on what claims are made by tour guides, you know, of course, tour guides are very good at pumping up whatever it is the locals have done.
Right.
But I did do a little research as well when I got home, and it appears that the kayak, or a thing a lot like the kayak, evolved to meet the hunting needs of people who live in the very far north of this globe, in the Arctic areas, and that includes not just people in Greenland, but people in the very far north of Canada, and of course Alaska, meaning the Eskimos. But the Greenlanders claim that their version of the kayak or whatever they might have done to change it a little bit over the centuries has become the model for what we now see as a leisure activity. You know, I mean, a leisure boat that we use for the fun of kayaking down a river or on a lake or on a wherever on an ocean. Whereas for them, of course, it was for very serious purpose. It was for hunting.
And I think that our listeners would be quite amazed at one of the statistics you have in here about Iceland being the world's largest island.
Well, Greenland, not Iceland.
I'm sorry, Greenland, yes.
Well, you know, it is big, and although I would hope people would not be too surprised, only because I knew that in grade school.
Did you?
Well, I had a geography teacher, I guess, who would talk about the biggest this or the smallest that and, you know, all that. And the biggest island was Greenland. I mean, we knew it if we were paying attention and remembered it. We knew it then.
You didn't go to the...
That isn't the part that was as surprising to me as the rest of it, the fact that the inland ice cap covers 85% of the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
And secondly, it has a national park that occupies about 45% of the entire country. It's the world's largest national park, and you can't visit it.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, those things are just, I mean, it's a great place for superlatives, you know, for the descriptions of things that are extreme.
Well, now, just for those listening, when we talk about certain statistics, Nadine mentions that the size of the island is 840,000 square miles. That's a lot of square miles.
Yeah, it's hard to grasp, actually.
It is, indeed. You did a number of things there, obviously, and when you arrived and looked at all of this amazing, gigantic icebergs, and you refer to it as a desert, what was your gut about the whole thing? I mean, were you just overwhelmed by it? Sometimes, you know, first impressions are changed as you get into things, but what was your first impression?
Well, actually, we got there at night, so I didn't see anything. My first impression was just to be amused because
right.
We got into what turned out to be our bus for doing the sightseeing on the first day, and it's like a great, big, huge paddy wagon with windows on the side. And apparently the bottom part of it had been created by the U.S. Army
right.
to move Pershing rockets around and then adapted by some creative incoming tour operator in Greenland by putting a great big wagon on top of this thing and putting the passengers in it.
How
and we
amazing.
Were, I mean, it was the funniest looking thing. And that's what we got into the first night to go to our sleeping place.
Right.
And so, you know, it was Greenland, but it was not about the big stuff. It was about what is also, you know, kind of amusing and unique that you're not going to find someplace else because of the way things have evolved there. I mean, we landed where we landed because that was an army base. And
right.
we landed at an army base because that's where the runways are,
right.
the big runways.
Right.
It's not an army base anymore, but where we slept the first night was in the barracks.
How about that?
Because there's not a lot of infrastructure for tourism right in the places where those army barracks or army bases were located. The point is you have to land.
Right.
So you land successfully and safely, and then you go someplace else. And so the next, after doing a little sightseeing to the inland ice cap, then we started going to the villages. And then is when I began to see the coastline. And, you know, you just sort of are amazed at just how big everything is and then how little the towns are.
Yeah, and you mentioned that there are fewer than 60,000 people live in Greenland.
That's correct.
And here is this massive place,
yes.
60,000 people.
I mean, of course, it's a massive place that isn't going to support massive numbers of people.
Yeah, of course.
Because of the ice, you can't live on that, and not for very long. And the other thing is, of course, it's very, very far north, so it's pretty cold. But, you know, there are people who live there and live there very nicely.
And a lot of them are, well, when you say that there's the majority of are the Inuits. I can
yes,
never pronounce that word right. But
well, I think that was
pretty close.
Close as I can get, I think.
Right. And of course, Denmark is the umbrella country for.
That's right. It is. It is a part of Denmark, formerly was a colony, but is not now. It has home rule rights.
Right.
And as I think I don't know if I mentioned it in what you've seen, but there are some portion of people there who would like to have complete independence.
Yeah, that surprises me. I mean,
yeah, well, I know, but you know, everywhere there are people who want complete independence. Whether it's just kind of in the nature of humans, I guess, to be proud of what they are and where they are and want to be on their own. But it's, you know, it'll be a challenge for 60,000 people to
It would be, and not only that, but
to run the country. Although there are a lot of resources, it's not as if they couldn't do it.
You're right. Now, tell us of how the igloos are gone.
Yeah, well, they never. I'm not even sure they ever. Well,
ever
they
had igloos.
Apparently for hunting purposes. It's a temporary way for a hunter to protect himself, and now they use tents. And I actually, you know, I did double check on that just this week, actually.
And you say what the visitor sees today are these small, brightly painted wood houses dotting the hillsides.
And that's the European influence. They wouldn't have built houses like that before, and they have to import that. There are no trees in Greenland.
Right. And so what about accommodations?
Okay, once we left the barracks, we did live a little better.
you went from no star to some star, right?
Well, actually, I don't know what kind of stars they applied to that.
Yeah, I never did understand who makes that decision. So I've seen a lot of hotels that call themselves 4- and 5-star hotels, but I thought they had a little cloud over one star.
Yeah, right. Well, I guess, you know, stars are sometimes related to descriptive stuff, not how nice something is. It's how many restaurants there are.
Right.
And how many other kinds of facilities that are available to the, you know, on a public basis, and how many facilities are in the room and all that. And it's sort of a kind of a mechanical way of describing them and not a a judgmental thing.
Right.
But we have, Greenland has 4 4-star hotels. And I saw them all, and I stayed in 2 of them. And the one that I think is absolutely the nicest is the Hotel Arctic.
Uh-huh.
Which is in a town called Ilulissat.
Very good.
I have to slow down to say it right. But anyway, it's a charming, charming town. They're all on these little, they all have little harbors because they must. I mean, transportation, except for the airline, transportation between towns is always by boat because there are no roads.
Right.
As I say, I mean, this is an endless list of sort of surprising little factoids or trivia, of course, as I'm noticing. This stuff is not in my book because I didn't know it.
Now, I understand there will be a new way. I don't know if it's started yet, but you mentioned Air Greenland, which I find quite interesting, that they're planning to fly from Baltimore.
Yes, they are.
And I think you put a date in here.
May 7th.
So it will be this May 7th.
Yes.
Right. Okay, and I assume they're flying jet-type aircraft.
Oh, it's a 757.
757, okay.
Yeah.
And is it going to be a fairly regular service? Or?
It's going to start as a weekly service. Then as the summer moves along, it becomes twice a week.
Right.
And toward the end of summer, I'm not sure the precise date, towards the end of summer it becomes weekly, and then it wraps up on September 21. I mean, this is a country, you know, where your market is mostly going to be for summer, spring, summer, fall, but it's not exactly a place where very many people would choose to go in January or February.
But, you know, I also find interesting, Nadine, that you say that there was a plague of mosquitoes in July and August. One wouldn't think they'd have mosquitoes
in
that region.
Well, actually, Greenland is like the Arctic areas across North America. It's not just Greenland. You may hear it once in a while. People will talk about it in Alaska as well. Yeah, what happens, I guess, you know, I'm not a biologist, but I guess what happens is that, you know, all the world has insects of some kind.
Right.
But if you're an insect who's going to be in a place where the warm season is short, then you've got to make the most of it. So, you know, they're wherever they are protecting themselves or their eggs or whatever in the wintertime, and boy, when they pop out big time because they only have a 2-month season.
Hmm.
And that happens in Alaska, it happens in the Arctic and the northern parts of Canada, and it happens in Greenland. It's all the same phenomenon. But the reason for mentioning it, and I did mention it in the story, is because if a travel agent, and that's my audience, if a travel agent is going to sell this trip,
right,
he needs to just tell the customer so the customer can take, repellents
right.
or things or
they can
even
be prepared
netting
for
of
it.
Some kind
right.
to protect themselves.
Exactly. And you go on to say that they actually expect, 55,000 visitors? That was probably 2006.
That's the projection for this year, and they already know the cruise number because the cruise season is over.
Right.
But the air, they'll still have more air passengers through the end of the year because some of their, their arrivals come from Denmark.
Now, for those that are listening, what would you suggest or how can they do some homework and prepare for a trip to Greenland? Is there a website?
Actually, I don't have all those addresses in front of me. There are a lot of websites.
I'm sure there is. Probably.
And I think one of them is just something like www.greenland.com.
Right. Or they can Google it, I'm sure.
You can Google it, and if you Google Greenland travel, Google Air Greenland travel.
Right.
And also there's a company in the United States called Arctic Adventures, and it's in Wilmette, Illinois.
Okay.
Run by a guy named Tor Jensen, he's Danish, that does incoming travel arranging for Greenland. It
right.
specializes in Iceland, the Faroe Islands, and Greenland.
Right.
And now I haven't looked up his company. He was on this trip, by the way. I haven't looked up his company, but there must be a website. But anyway, it is in Wilmette, Illinois, and it's called Arctic Adventures.
And for the travel agents who may be listening, you mentioned that the receptive tour operators and the tour guides were very efficient.
Yeah, I thought so. I thought they were. Yes, they were very good, and the operations were good. The cruises we took were handled well. The people who are our leaders or our guides are, they were all very helpful and. And that, and also if people don't know something, they say they don't know something, which I really appreciate.
Right, exactly. we're going to steal a little time from the network, just so you can mention your book, please.
Okay. The book is called Travia, The Ultimate Book of Travel Trivia. Came out this year, and it is available, currently only available on the Internet at www.traveltriviabook.com. We are going to have it with Amazon and Barnes & Noble online, but we're just going through some paperwork, because this is a self-publishing project, as you might have guessed.
Well, good. So, would you just give me that website again?
Okay. Sorry. It's www.traveltriviabook.com.
Great. Nadine, it was really great chatting with you. We don't often get to talk to many people from the... we have a lot of travel journalists, but we don't often get to talk to a lot of people who are particularly involved in the trade. And it's a pleasure. Maybe we could do some more of these, and it'd be lots of fun.
All right.
Bye for now. Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.